When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I shoot my shot, I hit my goals. I let man act like they don't know. Check my record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murderer beat, I'm cold. I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I just do my thing, I don't need to talk. I shoot my shot, I hit my goals. I let man act like they don't know. Check man's record, I learned that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murderer beat, I'm cold. When I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I just do my thing, I don't need to middle with the field in check like scores. But I still grind and chase man's goals. When I get a chance, man's veins get cold.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mugga. Yeah, Michael, I'm going to need... I'm joined this week by two, I want to say two distinguished gentlemen, but Dr. Very Michael has really got me questioning that analysis of his character. Anyway, I'm joined this week by two guys, man. One is Elijah, long-term sufferer of the Mugga family. How you doing, Elijah?
I'm all right, still.
that's the adequate response. And Dr. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm all right, man. You know, it's 24 hours after, you know, what we're going to talk about, so I'm in better spirits now.
Fair. Before we start, I've got to do the usual and plug the socials. See TLF_Mugga. If you're on the Patreon, you can sign up to be a patron for as little as a £5 a month. The visual versions of this pod are going to be going onto the Patreon. Obviously, the audio will be available everywhere you usually listen to it. If you haven't rated it, give it a 5-star rating on Spotify, on Apple. Join the conversation. Use the hashtag. Love reading the comments after pods come out, you know. When you insult me, it's like a booster because I know what I'm saying is paining you. You know what I'm saying? I'm Bruno Fernandes fans. You talk about Bruno, but you want to talk about Rashford. I mean, I'm doing my voice like that. They're usually located in Lagos, so a better accent. Anyway, I digress. Listen, guys, FA Cup semi-final, second year in a row, facing a team outside the playoffs in the Championship. You're thinking, you know, routine win. Your team then decides to go up 3-0. You're thinking, Bob's your uncle. But about full time, it's 3-3. So Fanny's definitely not your aunt. What the hell happened? What the hell happened yesterday? Let's first of all talk about how we got to even be 3-0 up. And then let's talk about the descent of conceding 3 goals in 20 minutes. So how do you guys feel like we played for that first hour or so?
We took our chances. I can't say... We were like dominating, or you know, it was sort of Premier League versus Championship. It wasn't that you couldn't tell if you were an alien and you were dropped into the stand in Wembley and you didn't know nothing about these teams, and they said to you, which you think is in the league above? I think that alien wouldn't be able to distinguish between the two. I generally think the Coventry were playing the better football and just didn't have the clinical sort of strikers, even though Sims scored a good goal later on, didn't have the clinical finishes up front, and we did. And that was the difference, predominantly. Particularly like looking at the first goal, and I thought that was good play by Dalot. I thought it was good play by Dalot. And no, in fact, before I get to Dalot, I didn't understand the formation. Almost like at the start, it was like Scott McTominay was playing like a second striker because Rasmus Højlund was up front, and any time... Like McTominay was making them runs, and it's like Bruno was deeper than McTominay, which I didn't really understand. I know back in the last season, Bruno played this sort of 8, sometimes even played like a 6, but predominantly he's been our number 10. He's been the guy that you know, everything goes through, so to speak. So it was interesting to see almost Matt Tom playing, the, I wouldn't call it number 10, but almost like a second striker. But anyway, he's forward runs into the box. He scored the goal. And I thought that was good play, Dallo, exposing the fact that Coventry were quite narrow with their 5-3-2 system. And Garnacho and Dallo did an overlap. Dallo put in a very good ball, and then it was easy to score, harder to miss. With Matt Tomley, I think he shinned it in the end, didn't he?
That's his 10th of the season, isn't it? What do you say?
Yeah, I think he shinned it in the end. So it was such a good ball that Dallo played in that, you know.
I think his obsession was like not putting too much contact and somehow potentially making it go over the bar. So I think he literally just need to make some contact, not too much, and it's a goal.
100%. Yeah.
And he did that. So yeah, double figures for the season. Good season for him.
Look, him and Maguire, who we're going to touch on, were two players that apparently were...
We were going to touch on Maguire, but fair.
Oh, no.
I mean, listen, I love it. Two hosts.
And let me fall back.
I'm listening.
No, I was going to say those two players, McTominay and Maguire, were two players that reportedly were going to go to West Ham in a £60 million deal. I don't know what happened. I think the plug got pulled on that. So, and those are the two players that, before Bruno's goal, were making a difference. So, yeah, McTominay surprised all of us. I think people wanted him gone. I'll definitely put myself in a camp. Thought he wasn't to the standard, but he's proved himself a very good squad player. So, more of that.
Fair enough. So, that's the first goal, McTominay. Second goal, who scored the second goal, remind me?
Maguire.
Nice header, mentality monster. And then the third goal, everyone's favourite, number 8, Bruno Fernandes.
Hey, Elijah looks so dejected. I'm fucking finished. Is this it?
This is his energy these days, man.
Hey, Ten Hag has finished us. They ain't sacked him yet, it's crazy. He's
shameless. This is the fifth time we've gone through this, man.
He's shameless. Anyway, sorry for interrupting you, my brother.
Nice. We'll get on to the shamelessness. Cool. So we go 3-0 up, 70-odd minutes. Like you said, Dr. Michael, we weren't particularly impressive, but we were clinical when the opportunities arose. Elijah, what happened? What, if anything, did Coventry change to then so violently shift the tide of the game?
The thing is, the second half, we didn't even play well. Like, we got worse than the first half, and Coventry actually got better because they made a few changes. I believe they were playing 5 at the back before, then they decided to go to 4. Obviously, they're 3-0 down to FA Cup semi-final. And then, I was about to say they got a lucky break, but it didn't. Down our right-hand side, we'll come to the culprit of the day later on. But they whipping across. I think that Lowe's out of position and the whole thing has to shift over, but there's a massive gap. And then me personally, I'm not sure why Dallo tries to go back to right back rather than following with Sims, but he goes to right back and then Casemiro doesn't go. Like, to be fair, I don't think Casemiro done anything majorly wrong in the situation, but it was just that Dallo went to the man at the far post and then Casemiro was kind of in between. So then Sims is free in the box and then he shins it as well. And then it's a good fit for him to go past Onana. And then, it just became a contest then where I feel like conceding a goal to a championship team shouldn't make... I saw guys walking back to the halfway line fearing for their life. I'm like, yeah, man, these guys are mentally finished. You can see the goal to the championship side and you're a team who is 7th in the Premier League and you're thinking, here we go again. I could not imagine being that scared in that situation. It is so crazy. But yeah, and then, like, the thing is, if you think about in isolation, the next two goals, a crazy deflection and a penalty that, to me, that's quite harsh. But fucking hell, like, I remember at the start of the season after Arsenal, like, this you said, why is it always us? Like, as much as like it was unlucky, like when the rise, the deflection gone, whatever, he said, why is it always us in these situations? And it's continued, just proved it throughout the season, why we could, at the end of games, like the past month, the end of games, we finished terribly. And that's a combination of the fact that, look, these players' mentality is fucking awful. As much as people can say, yeah, Maguire, McTominay, Bruno, whatever, they've done well. At the end of the day, they have been the crux of some of the most shamelessly mentally weak teams I've seen in my life. So I don't know about that. But, I mean, yeah, the deflective goal, Wan-Bissaka yesterday, he shouldn't play another game for the football club. That is one of the worst performances I've seen. Even he got done by a simple... I can't believe how he still jogs, and how someone can jog and be that lazy but still play everyone onside every fucking time. Every fucking time. He's always playing a man onside. No positional awareness for a defender. He's not even a good defender. He's just a good guy who can slide tackle. And we've seen recently, like, he's not even getting that right now. He's just shit. He's just shit.
Got away with the fourth one, bro. He got away with one there.
Oh, again. He's fucking awful.
That wasn't intentional whatsoever. So that,
yeah. He's just fucking awful. And then take out the three goals where obviously he concedes the handball, which again is harsh, deflects off his back. He turned his back and was slow to get out. Him and McTominay. To be fair, McTominay was actually playing injured, so whatever. But Wan-Bissaka, again, slow to get out, jogging out. Then he turns his back rather than facing forward, deflects off him horribly. That's the reason why you don't turn your back. And then the first goal, they were just playing around that side because he's fucking shit. Like, okay, he was playing left back, cool. But that doesn't change the fact that positionally, that performance yesterday, I don't even want to speak about it too much because it's just getting me actually angry again. And I can't. Like, he was fucking awful. Casemiro slowly... The thing is that because he played centre-back, his disintegration into his obese performance took longer, but when it got there, it got there. Rashford... God. Good God, man. That might be his worst performance of the season. Jesus Christ. Even at 3-2, the thing he gets injured from, we're away on the break. He tries to take it like to the side of the defender, and he couldn't even do that properly. The guy got a clean tackle on him, didn't even touch him, and he got injured from him landing badly on his ankle. He was fucking awful.
When you say break it down for me though. I didn't watch the game. Obviously, I just caught bits and pieces. Like, what was bad about that?
Literally, every single bad thing about when Rashford playing bad, there was no saving grace. He, even the third goal, the decision to chop back onto his right foot rather than just play it across the box. He's so lucky that actually Bruno done well for that goal, even though it got deflection. But it was a nice feat from him. But the decision to chop back, he constantly just made the wrong decision. He was running, it looked comical. Like, it just looked like a comical performance. It was fucking shit. It was absolute. It was the fact that he stayed on for that long is crazy in the first place. He should have been the first one off. I can't believe he stayed on for that long. He should have been off by like the 55th minute. And look, I've been complaining about the fact that Garnacho has been playing and playing and playing. But at the end of the day, he's on the pitch. And Rashford is looking absolutely awful. He should come off first. People saying, oh, he's resting him for the next game. Brother, why does that game even matter? It's Sheffield United. We can't get top four. What does that matter? Rashford was absolutely shocking. And then Anthony and Eriksen. It's so funny. Because last season, people were going to die by the fact that these guys brought us so much control. Them two come on, they add nothing, they take away our threat, and they were fucking jokers. Eriksen, he shouldn't. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna hold my mouth there because I don't want to say anything too crazy. But Antony, again, shocking. But he's just a shocking player, and just whatever. Ahmad and Forson, they came on. They looked decent. Forson did look good because of playing central. Surprise, surprise there, rather than playing out on the wing that for some reason that Tenard usually does. And then Ahmad, even though he had to switch between a lot of positions because players kept coming off and getting injured or whatever. But yeah, he did look good. There was one time where he could have played it through to Bruno, but he didn't. But he still retained it only for him to give it to Eriksen, who tried to shoot through 16 bodies for no reason. Yeah, it was just that. It was just a disgraceful performance from the manager and the players. Yeah, it's just it just shows where this team is at mentally. And yeah, man, it's just gonna be like 7 more cuts until this season's finally over. So
how do you follow up on that? Really, it's an epic rant there, Elijah.
I didn't even know how long I was
going for. 7 minute drill.
Hey, but this one's not coming off the services, though. That's what I'm gonna say.
Cool. So obviously after that last minute penalty as well, we go to extra time, and it's just I thought once we went to extra time and like it stabilized and we had 30 minutes, we'd like score and deal with the matter. Bruno Fernandes hit the crossbar from a pass back from Ahmad. Good play from Ahmad. Don't think we did much. And then I was getting ready to go to the main pod, and it was like we'd taken a corner in the last minute, and I was kind of like, corner is going to go to penalties now. Let me just quickly like get ready. And then I'm like, next few years, I can't believe it. And it's 4-3 to Coventry City. I was like, what the sorry. But obviously I
better start laughing like the Joker, man.
I came been ruled out, and I really wanted it not to be ruled out. I didn't think the manager or the players deserved any sort of reprieve for that horror show, to be honest with you. But it was penalties. It's crazy when like a player just lives up to your expectations and your expectations aren't good. So Casemiro. Case to some. Like, I'm going to go first and take my penalty first, and decides to serve up that crap off the back of what Bernardo did midweek. Absolutely killed me. Like, he's like, oh, you're trying to show that I'm mentality. Okay. This is nothing to me, bro. And he served that penalty up, and then Onana did really well. He got into his Emi Martinez bag, started rattling guys, made a save, couple of guys missed. And there we got City, a rematch against City in the final. That's your prize.
Yeah, I think with penalties, man, like you just aim for either the corners or bottom, like either low, you go low corners or top corners, and then you got 4 places to aim for. I don't know why you go for the middle. Like, you know, obviously a Paneka looks lovely when it pulls off, but there's high chance. Well, there's a risk that it's not going to pull off. You look like a Muppet, which he did, Casemiro. So,
you know what it is, bro? Let me pop my phone on mute. Apologies. You know, if you're going to go down the middle, it's all about your body shape and how you can try and manipulate the keeper, right? Like, if you're going to go down the middle, at least try and make it look like you're going to pick a corner, whether it's through body shape, whether it's through your run-up, whether it's through your eyes. But Casemiro, yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. You're right in terms of generally speaking, go corners. I would always recommend saying if you can go bottom corners, it's probably easier for you to score, easier for a keeper to save. Top corner, you never know what can happen unless you've got the technique for that. And I don't trust certain people to try and find top corner penalties, but especially with our technical ability in the squad. Yeah. Scott McTominay actually could, but there's some players in that squad.
Yeah, he's got good strike.
Yeah. So I agree with you. Middle is a huge risk. But it all comes down to who you are as a footballer and how you can try and manipulate the keeper. Someone like Bruno, I'd be a lot more confident doing that than fucking Casemiro.
Right. Bruno's clutch when it comes to penalty. He's the only penalty I'd even bother. I wasn't worried at all, man. Because yeah, Bruno and penalties.
Even Hoyland's penalty looked weird. Like his run up and the way he struck the ball looked odd.
He just got a lot of power on that, which is fair enough to him. But the thing is, I feel like the opposite. I feel like with going down the middle, keepers usually dive just.
Yeah.
So it's actually, and also if you go down the middle, at least you're getting on target. That's the thing.
So, what are you talking about? Man United, and we're talking about hit the target. That is too funny.
Literally. But I feel like with Casemiro, he just looked, for a guy who looks so experienced, that was the most fearful penalty I've seen in my life. Yeah. He was just like, yeah, man. Like, but the thing is, yeah, I keep seeing him doing these interviews with Brazilian TV stations, yeah. And you could actually tell from what he's saying, he can't believe what has happened to him. Like, he's actually in shock that he is finished. And he's in shock that mentally, like, he can't even bring himself. He's cooked. Like, he was legit one of the players who, as soon as he went to 3-1, I could see his face. He's just like, not this shit again. Like, he is, we have cooked a supposed mentality monster. Do you know how special that is? That is special. I've seen this guy at Real Madrid pull some. He went to Anfield, saw what Milner done to Benzema. I knew he would have to pay for 85 minutes on the yellow card. They said, you know what, fuck this. And he went in, dropped a mad thing on Milner, then put in a Blasic on the yellow card for 85 minutes. And this is him now. Absolutely insane. But, I mean, that just shows the curse of this club, innit? But, yeah,
the club's inevitable, not in a good way.
what was the mood for you guys? I know Mariah, you kind of said how you felt, but when they scored, I was kind of like, don't get me wrong, man, don't want Man United to ever lose.
Yeah.
And I would hate to be seen as one of those fans, right? But I was kind of thinking, this is firstly, this is what you lot deserve. You don't deserve to win. And don't try call me a fake fan because I believe so. I don't think United deserve to win that game based upon what I've heard and what I've seen in the highlights that I watched. And secondly, to let go of a 3-0 lead at Wembley to Coventry, with all due respect, we've had a decent season in the champ. I think they're eighth at the moment. Decent side, playoff contenders. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And then to concede the fourth by basically a toenail, if that. And he would have been onside. Was it Hadji?
Yeah.
Hadji Wright, American. Right.
Shout out to him, Shay Gildress. I heard you, man, on the pod this morning. bro, them man don't deserve anything. Anthony. You know what? He's just, I get his mentality. I really do. I understand it. But you just have some shame based upon your performance, bro. That's my thing. Like, have some shame. I'm intrigued to know how you guys felt when they scored. Were you surprised by it? Obviously, it came in the last minute. And imagine what would have happened if that had actually gone in. Just in terms of social media, what would happen with Ten Hag today in terms of some of the things we've seen. Yeah, I wanted to know how you guys sort of felt when it went in for 4-3.
He knew that he was gone.
Yeah, like, he was finished.
I could, like, they panned to him and he knew he was gone. Like, you could literally tell that he said, I'm fucking cooked. And the thing is, when I saw it in real time, it looked offside to me. So I waited for a bit, but then when the replay showed, it looked a bit closer, but I still thought it was probably offside. When they showed the lines, I didn't realize how close it was. But yeah, I mean, I just felt like, look, man, I had the most amazing hate watch in the last 10, 11 days. Something was going to have to give, you know? And I was like, fair enough. You got me. But they didn't.
This is the price for salvation.
Yeah, look.
I'll pay it every time.
I can hold that. It's calm. It's the FA Cup in a pretty meaningless season. The only problem is that it would have been something that would have been repeated for years and years and whatever. Like, yeah. that BBC montage of that game, that's getting a million views on Twitter. And I'm like, you know what? That would have been a bit shit. But yeah, I mean, it was just what we deserved. Like, even the recovery runs on that goal, the amount of time I saw Forson, running. He was the one running back to even play DM whenever the ball broke down. All right, Eriksen. Oh my god. Oh, yeah. I mean, me, I was just like, yeah, this is definitely over. And I was thinking, I know that they're saying they're going to wait until the end of the season, but I thought, yeah, he might go by the end of tonight. It would have been a relief in one sense, and a bit annoying in the other, because I feel like some players would be able to get a reprieve. But at the end of the day, the whole thing just needs to go. If they burnt down Cameron, I wouldn't be too angry about that right now.
Man. Yeah, I guess some sort of respect was salvaged by not losing to Coventry. But yeah, I felt as hollow as the players felt where they didn't celebrate with Hoyland. It was just kind of like, to what end, you know? Like I say, the prize is City in the final. So yeah. Anthony, he loves it, man. He loves it. He came from the mud. So, you know, anyone chatting shit to him, anyone trying to question him, he's going to make an up of you. And since he's been at United, the people questioning him have been right way more than they've been wrong. But he got to dunk on Coventry. So congratulations, Anthony.
He's a madman. For the second goal, Coventry's second goal, I think Dallow made an overlapping run. And then for some reason, Anthony obviously wants to cut in where all the Coventry men were. And then the ball breaks down and it goes to the other end of the pitch. And then the O'Hare scores the deflected effort. And it's like, decision making is poor. Decision making in games, poor. Decision making when it comes to celebrating is poor. And it's just like, yeah, he's a problem we're stuck with. And it's a problem through all our own endeavours and doing, you know. It's not as if, like, we needed him and we're surplus. On the right now, you've got Garnacho there who played a good game. Obviously, you've got Anthony, you've got Ahmad he's struggling to get game time despite his win against Liverpool. So, yeah, Anthony's a problem with our own doing.
Fair. Erasmus Hoyland. That's the seventh game with no goal now. Seventh game since his return from injury. What did you make of his performance, Elijah Michael?
Yeah, he's shit.
Hey, okay.
Sorry, he isn't shit. He has been shit. But yeah, he's just not been good. He's an idiot. I feel like I'm comfortable saying that. And an idiot without confidence is one of the worst things to watch. That's what he is right now. The decision to try and drag it back onto his left foot rather than just swing it with his right.
Right, yeah.
When my feet are up, annoying.
But that comes with him not being in form. If he's in form, I think he takes it if he's right.
Yeah, but and that's why I said an idiot with no confidence is the worst thing to watch. So,
yeah, complete bozo, yeah.
And then second half, there was a time where he'd done a bit of good work, broke free, could have played the extra pass and decided to shoot into where there was no space. And obviously it turned over again. So, yeah, and the runs he makes are really poor sometimes. I do think people are a bit harsh on him about the fact that he's like the variety in his movement when the cross is coming in isn't as good. I believe a lot of strikers, they have their one move that they do. He likes to come near post. Others like to go the back post. You see Cavani from corners, especially. He used to love the near post running and to get a head on it. Yeah, some strikers are better at doing it. I just feel like, of course, he's going to need to diversify. And we have seen it a lot this season where he has been in the middle of the goal or at the back post and he's been sliding and he hasn't got there. Yeah, he needs to do a lot better. He doesn't make enough runs in the left-hand channel for my liking. He prefers to go on the right when he decides to make a run for some reason. He's just...
Do you think that's how he can cut in on his sort of left foot? That sort of...
Yeah, but I understand it to that extent, but when the play is developing on the right and you make a run on the right, it just closes up the whole space and then you're not going to get the ball anyway. So just... Mm. If you want the ball to get a goal, I don't know why you would try and force it on that side. He's not been good since he's come back, but his first season, he's young. He shouldn't really even be in this position, but through a combination of some poor, with some lack of foresight with the whole Ronaldo situation, Martial situation. This is the situation we're in. And it's unfortunate, but yeah, he just needs to play through it. I do feel like people are being harsh on him for whatever reason, whether it be agendas for other players or they're comparing him to strikers we've had in the past. But look, he's 21, the first season. I'm going to go give him a shot.
Fair. Very nice. Let's talk about strikers we've had in the past. Andy Cole, alongside John Terry, was elected to the Premier League Hall of Fame.
Big up,
Andy. Won it all here. Was it 180-odd goals, one penalty? All you guys' memories of Andy Cole? I know Elijah and Gaz, I may be asking you to go a bit far back. Or any Andy Cole memories?
For me, yeah, just mainly his relationship with Dwight York springs to mind. I wouldn't say I was necessarily some. I think I started really watching United when I think he was in his last season. I think so. That was at 2001. Am I correct in saying that? Because I think by 2002 he was gone. So I think that, from what I remember, that was the Vodafone kit.
I think it was 95 to 01. Yeah, was his time at United off head.
So yeah, typically as a United fan from that sort of coming from the later era, I remember his relationship with York, seeing clips of that as well. Seeing clips of their sort of dynamic, knowing where each other were. And just have the idea of having four strikers of a level where you could bring one in, take one out, bring one in was something that we wouldn't think of today. Considering we've got one striker now, do you know what I'm saying? Which is so mad when we had Sheringham, Solskjaer, York and Cole. Then obviously Ruud van Nistelrooy came in. But yeah, shout out to Andy Cole, man. Firstly, I think it's important to note that he's a black man. A black man that's scored goals at the highest level of football, represented at the highest level of football as well. And a very talented footballer at that as well. I think he came, what was his first club? Nottingham Forest when he first sort of broke through, right? In the early 90s. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it was Forest, then Newcastle, then.
Yeah. It was Bristol City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit, then. Mariah, you're on mute, by the way, if you are talking. Yeah, you
were talking bare, boy. I said, yeah, he came through Arsenal's academy where he didn't get to play, really. Then he went to Bristol City, and then he did the mad thing at Newcastle before we signed him. And yeah, he did his thing.
What about yourself?
Bro, the goal against Barca, with him and York linking up, goal he scored against Juventus, when we came back from 2-0 down in that Champions League run. And I just remember him always being like a bit of a poacher. That's like my main memory of him. And I remember that 99 season when him and York would get switched for Solskjaer and Sheringham. So yeah, like you say, like he left just as I was really, really getting into football. But his record, like you say, speaks for itself. And yeah, good on him. That Hall of Fame is starting to fill up now. Like obviously I watch American sports and their Hall of Fame's like a proper big deal. Like what you get is like the existing Hall of Fame, like you have every year, because typically you can't get into it unless it's like 5 years since you retired, and then there'll be a bunch of names, people will vote, and you'll get to the final selection and you get voted in by the like existing members. In some sports it's the media, ridiculous, but you get a gold jacket a lot of time, you get a bust of you made, and there's a whole ceremony where fans of the club come and like watch you give a speech. So obviously America's Hollywood as hell. They'll never get that way in the UK, but it's always nice to like keep the legacy of these great players alive, I think.
And especially with Cole, for somebody who I think feels as though he's been sort of neglected and sidelined when spoken about amongst the very best strikers in the league. People tend to talk about the likes of Suarez, Van Nistelrooy, Omri, today Harry Kane, and people compare him to those guys, and sometimes he feels like he's not put into those conversations. So I think it's actually quite nice for him to be able to know that he's been recognised by whoever's chosen the Hall of Famers, to know that, you know, he's appreciated, and I think that's very important.
It means more, bro. Like, Yeah, I can't really add any more to what you said. He did his thing. He had his error, man. I think it was just tough. He came through like he was played at the same time as Alan Shearer. Obviously, he had Wrighty. Played a bit before him at Arsenal. Van Nistelrooy came in. Obviously, Rooney. There have been so many great strikers, but his numbers are right up there, man. So, yeah, shout out Andy Cole, man. Things are cooking in the background. They say... is it Jason Wilcox?
Technical director, right?
TD, man. He's doing an assessment of Eric, the bold man, Ten Hag, you know? Like, what's cooking? What's really good is what he's doing an assessment of. He's got to be going at this point, surely, lads.
Yeah, man.
He's saying 50-50.
No, he should have resigned. He should have resigned yesterday.
Yeah, I can see that in his eyes, man.
The thing is, it's so interesting to me that they say, like, the article said, yeah, so he's gonna come in, assess them, train the session, he's gonna talk to players and the relationships and everything. And I'm like, yeah, he's coming to do his job. He's a technical director. It's that crazy that because we had Fletcher in that role and he wasn't doing any of that because first of all, he's not even a qualified coach. I believe. Mm. I don't think he's done his badges, and this is what his first proper job. But yeah, he's just coming in to do what any technical director would do, seeing how a manager would fit into the overarching philosophy to the club and assessing the training session, the quality of it, how it feeds into the match situations. Yeah, that's what he should be doing. The reason why I say 50-50 is just because of the options out there. I feel like there might be some sympathy for Ten Hag in terms of the injuries, depending on how much they think his training sessions contribute to those injuries, and the playing style does as well. And then with the every situation in the background with Sancho's and the Greenwood and Ronaldo and whatever, the board situation as well. But I believe that if he had just done an okay job this season, no one would be able to talk about him. The fact that he's
fun with him, I would have been fine.
The fact that he is being spoken about this much shows how badly he has done. Like, this is one of the worst coach performances I've seen from Manje in a season for a very, very long time. He has been absolutely shocking.
For a very, very long time. So when you say very, very long time, is that the worst of the 10 years post-Fergie?
Do you know what? In terms of, based on the fact that he is, like, to me, he's not... he's had a very bad season. I wouldn't even say he's a bad coach. But just in terms of his ability and what I've seen of his other clubs, watching us play this season, that's the biggest gap I've seen between a coach's supposed ability and the way his team plays. It's insane to me. It's absolutely insane. In terms of just downright just worst, like the bad days of Ollie, when we first started this project, I can't get over that, man. That was some shocking shit. But that's even second to what we served up under Ranić. That was... So, he's third, which to me shows the how good these past 10 years have been. But yeah, it's 50-50 because the options out there aren't great. Like, we're getting linked more and more with Tuchel, which, excellent coach, but this is a man who's known to fight with every single board.
He's out with all of his players as well, man. Well, not all of them, some of them.
So he's an abrasive personality. So to bring that in as your first coaching hire, that'll be very interesting from them. And it just doesn't feel like it fits the ethos of like Wilcox and Ashworth and what they look like they're trying to build here. It feels like a very... It feels like it might be someone you bring into stable the ship a bit. Maybe that's how they're looking at it.
Like a traditional manager. So
yeah. Just someone to like get us back competing. Because as much as Tuchel, we call him Tuchel Abandon or something, like, he is a very good coach. He's just a very abrasive character and he has shocking talent ID, which shouldn't be too much of a concern given that the transfer should be out of his hand. But then again, that's something he also does not like as well. He's had a problem with it at Dortmund, PSG. It happened at Chelsea. It happened at Bayern. So if you're going to get in a manager who's shown that he's not happy with taking a backseat on transfer. It doesn't make much sense to me. But yeah, they said we know there's a lot of talented coaches out there like Mota, Amarin, Michelle from Girona. They said they're like Poir and Southgate, but apparently they're not sure about their personality to lead in the dressing room.
There's a name I'm waiting for.
Yeah, they didn't say that in the article, though. They didn't say in the article, but I mean, if it somehow happens, yo, Mike, it has gotten so dark in that room. It's so crazy.
Yeah, yeah, the sun is setting. Let me put some electric light instead of the sunlight.
But yeah, they didn't say anything about McKenna, but that would be a very bold move, and it'll be one that I actually respect. Because, and look, as I always say, as a manager, if I want to buy myself some time, just bring in the younger players. If I'm the board, I'm bringing in McKenna. I'm just saying, yo, it's gonna take time, McKenna. New board, new thing.
Trust me, morale. Come on, man. Come rap, bro. Bro, listen.
Guys, just be serious, brother. I mean, you're not getting the job. He's not getting the Manchester United.
I know he's not. No, I know he's not.
Yeah.
This is what I would be doing, bro. This is what I honestly like with.
Let's say you did do it. What would your kind of cycle be? Like, what would your expectations be?
Top eight first season. I know it sounds nuts, but look where we are already. We're what, sixth?
Top eight. Okay, yeah, like but thing. Top eight.
All right, eight. In between one and eight. So wherever that, we're not going to finish in the top four. And the thing is with that, anything's possible with a good coach. Firstly, secondly, anything's possible with a good coach with a clear idea of what they want to do. I think the biggest issue with McKenna.
Coach and shit players, yeah.
Boy, the biggest issue with McKenna. Issues for him would be firstly getting rid of some of the players. Secondly, there's still some big personalities like a Bruno who I think we should actually be looking to get rid of at some point in the next year or so. The likes of Casemiro over Ram, what we choose to do with those. Thirdly, having the cachet and the sort of the aura people tend to speak about nowadays of I can speak to any player that I want and say if you're not going to listen to what I'm saying, you're not involved in the team, you're not in the squad. These are my rules and my principles, as we've seen with someone like Ten Hag. He's tried to come in and put in his principles, someone who has a name in Europe, and it hasn't worked for him. So who's to say Kieran McKenna can come in? Dubious, questionable. Some people have spoken about Ten Hag's communication issues being one of the biggest things for him going wrong in the second season. I don't know. Anyway, back to my point being, he'd also have to have the cachet with the sort of the board, the technical director, the likes of Ashworth, Omar, and be able to stand his ground against those guys as well. And I think doing so either comes from having a strong personality or having the CV to back it up. So if I tell you something, I'm speaking from a perspective of know-how and understanding. And I think he doesn't have those because the best thing he's done so far is got Ipswich promoted to the Championship. I still think he's a remarkably impressive coach from everything I've seen from his time at Tottenham till now. I think he's got some clearly great ideas and principles in terms of on the pitch. He's got a great resilient team as well in Ipswich. You don't die. Like, they've scored the most goals in the last 10 minutes of games. Still second in the league with a budget that's like 16th in the Championship in terms of transfer, 14th in terms of wages. Personally, for me, we've tried everything. As I said a few weeks ago, we've tried the strict Dutchman in Louis van Gaal. We tried Jose. We tried Ollie, the nice guy. We tried the tactical acumen, supposedly in Ten Hag. Although you wouldn't think about that this season. And none of it's worked, bro. So I know I'm being ambitious. If I'm being realistic, I know that's not going to happen. A Tuchel is much more likely.
You know, I rate your ambition. That's why am I kind of curbed that? You know what? Go through, brother.
You should go for a young guard sort of long-term plan. Obviously, I know that was the plan with Moyes and it didn't come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're right. We've gone through some of the top heavyweight managers in Europe and stuff like that. We've done everything. So, you know, if someone's young and because I think we should also go with that younger sort of longer term thinking with our transfers as well, which I know obviously when we get people at Ashworth and the team will look at that rather than the short term thinking we've had where we sign a Casemiro, we sign a Varane, we sign these players who are sort of on the other side of their peak.
Mercenaries, my brother, mercenaries. What's a baby?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, they're coming for a nice payday. You know, we love it when they kiss the badge, but we know they're thinking about the money that comes before the badge. You know what I mean? So we should be looking. Obviously, I hate to look at what our rivals are doing, but if we're looking at teams like Arsenal, Liverpool, where they look at players 23, 24 who have got their best years ahead of them, that's where we should be looking. But we're doing the whole panic buy thing. And, you know, that was the thinking with someone like Mason Mount. Not that I felt that we needed him, but someone who is sort of young, 24 at the time, I believe that we purchased him, who had his best years ahead. So, yeah, why not have the same mentality with a manager? I don't know if anyone's looked at
Mason Mount's injured again as well, you know.
Yeah, it's not been the best season for him.
From hell, to be honest with you, man. At least he has that sprint back against Crystal Palace in the League Cup, man.
Some desire.
That would go on his season comp. brother. That, the goal against Brentford. What else has he done?
Yeah.
Signing day when he was wearing the number 7 shirt.
Yeah, took over TikTok for the day. Had TikTok going crazy.
What an abject failure of a signing. This club, man.
What would you guys say about Unai Emery?
I think he's a great coach, but I think he does well personally. Happy to be wrong. I think he does well where he's having to punch up from what I've seen.
You say happy to be wrong. Nothing suggests you are.
Yeah,
nothing suggests you are wrong, guys.
I mean, some people might disagree and say, you know, we need to still see him in another environment. But from what I've seen, even Arsenal, for me, Arsenal will have a bit of a high esteem of themselves, if I'm honest, when he was there. I think they thought a bit too much about themselves when he was there. But I still think, from what I've seen, he does better when he's punching up. But then, to be fair, United right now, they're trying to punch up. So,
boy, he'd be leaving a lot of quality in the Villa side to join us, boy.
He would be.
They got better wins. He has an iron grip over there, you know, like he's bringing them to heights that they, I don't know if they've seen this before. If they did, it's probably way, way back in the day, right?
Martin O'Neill, like Ashley Young and that.
Yeah.
Bongla Hall, John Carew. Yeah, hey, come on, that was a team, you know.
That's probably the last thing, man. Like, why would he leave that to come to the circus that is United of Manchester?
Money, 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 money.
You guys name a coach. Everyone name a coach. Everyone name a coach that they would bring in.
Let's go. I don't know coach Pep Guardiola, blood.
That crack cocaine.
What the hell would do with this team? If you're really the best manager in the world, take this challenge. You come to Manchester United and you turn this squad of players into fucking champions.
More than you believe,
every 2 summers, man. You show us what you're made of. That guy has managed the most talent in football history. No one has managed as much talent as his brother. So I want to see him get it out of the mud. He's never had to get it out of the mud. He came into a Barca team that was stacked. Then he went to Bayern. Now he's at City. You know, they're going to get him Florian Wirtz. Then they're grabbing somebody else, a wide man, Rafael Leao. And then boom, back in business. Back in business.
So you don't think he's the best manager out?
He's the best coach, manager, whatever you want to call him. Like, the record speaks for itself. I think we know that even with quality players, that is still no guarantee of success. But if there's anything to poke at him with, this is it. So I'm using it. You prove yourself. You turn your back on 115 charges. And you come to Manchester United and get it cracking. We've been linked to Zidane as well. Thoughts. There was a time I wanted him before Ten Hag.
Has he had a job bar Madrid? Or is it just Madrid or nothing for him?
Madrid or nothing. What a CV.
Left, came back, ran it back. And I'm like, does he not want to? Unless it's Madrid.
Are you just from Madrid? Nah.
Where's Perez? Is this not Perez?
Yeah. What? This ain't Real Madrid. I think he'd manage France, obviously, and apparently Marseille. He'd also manage, he's from Marseille. But I think Deschamps keeps signing longer. Deschamps is not going to let another international manager get their hands on Kylian Mbappe. So I don't know. Obviously, Real Madrid, they're clearly looking at Xabi Alonso for after Carlo Ancelotti. But why was Zidane come here? Like, it's not a lucrative position. It's like people have seen all sorts of managers come here and fail. All you're going to do is basically tarnish your own rep by coming here.
It's crazy because if Zidane came, he would have to come out real time. And because watching Bruno play in his position, he'll be deeply offended. He'll be taking part in the training sessions thinking, I'm better than you still to this day. But nah, I don't think Zidane would be good. I don't think it'll be a good fit in terms of the players that we have, the board and whatever. But he is a good manager. He's clearly a good manager. But I do feel like he suits a different type of club. I think if you were willing to buy in, that'd be a decent fit. Bayern or France, that'd be nice. But apparently, Bayern are going to get Rebanyak, so.
Crazy, bro. Life is mad. Life is mad, bro. This is why you just got to stay in the game for long enough, lads. Stay in this game of life for long enough and something good might happen for you, my boys. What the hell? From Man U to Austria to Bayern Munich.
What, Munich? Not Leverkusen. Munich.
No, not Munich. Leverkusen, Xabi Alonso staying. Nagelsmann is renewing his contract with a German team. They've gotten rid of, obviously, Thomas Tuchel or Tuchel. Jurgen Klopp is, I think, retiring. So you put all of that together and just, yeah.
Rotted.
I don't know how he's like the next one up. But
it's like when Carlo was at Everton randomly, the Madrid called him. He was like, yeah, I'm out, cuz. It's just like...
Yeah. Apparently, he called them to like ask about loaning a player or something, or them selling them a player. And then Perez was kind of like, do you want the job? Yeah, why not, man? He's very agreeable. He's easy to get along with, isn't it? And that matters in all working environment. So
almost definitely.
Yeah.
What about Carlo? If Carlo left Madrid?
Nah, I think he said Madrid is his last job.
He's signing out.
Yeah, I think he's in his mid. Is he in his mid 60s now?
Yeah, I think
20 years. 64. He's got some years in him, man. He's lazy.
I think.
Don't run from the grind, Carlo.
I think he might go for Brazil.
He has been linked, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. But he was going to be their first coach outside of Brazil, but then he turned it down to sign an extension with Madrid. But I think he might go after that.
Well, he'll go for see if he can win an international tournament. Fair, man. I ain't mad at him. Cool, lads. Listen, man. Like I say every pod, we're just going through the motions until the summer, man. And then we'll see who's still here and we'll just see what gets cracking, man. Because, yeah, it's just been an insane season. Let's finish up with some listeners' questions. First question that Adani, guys, shout out. You always send in questions, is much appreciated. We know that 10 terrorists is finito, but I want to focus on some of our bozo moments. Does it just come from tiredness or are some of our players genuine bozos?
Yes, both.
Huh? Who's Elijah?
Yes, both.
Yeah.
Rudy asked a question about our next manager. We've discussed that. Joshua or Jacina. Who in the squad is our next real game changer, difference maker? I love Rash, so I need him to be free from this institution.
Stop that, man. Stop that, man.
I don't like that, man.
Did you say?
Hold Rash accountable as well. Free my guy. Don't get me wrong. He probably should leave. Yeah, but hold him accountable. He's been shit.
Yeah, it's been so bad. I think it's actually shocking. Shocking, mate. Like, it's not on, really. It's absolutely not on.
He's got international tournament. So what's the motivation?
I think it's from everything we can hear, obviously, Rodney was at the game yesterday. He basically got booed from the start of the match. And what the fans are saying, the Manchester United fans are saying, is not nice. Backer not nice. So obviously I don't need to articulate, but you guys will know what sort of things come from the fans when it's a player of Rashford's race and background and whatnot. So, yeah. He's getting racials, bro. I mean, you see it on the socials as well when, like, he used to have a bad game and stuff and had to turn off his comments on Insta and whatnot. But, yeah, the fan base detest him.
Yeah, but that's this is where I get jarred, right? Because I feel as though we aren't even able to, we try our best to, we aren't even able to sometimes correctly critique him as a footballer, because I always feel like I need to go in defense mode. As soon as I hear someone's going onto man's complexion, skin color, tone, ethnicity, I draw back and I'm like, forget football. Football doesn't matter now.
Yeah. Agreed.
Take it from football and I don't care about that no more, because this is more important, sort of thing.
Right.
He hasn't been good, but all of that stuff is nonsense. Bro, you can critique a man. Anyway, we know them man are stupid. But my point being is, if he's getting all of that, that stuff will affect you mentally, naturally. Especially if you're going to get that on a regular basis, which he does. So I can shoot some bail that way. If I just assess the footballer, though, yeah, I've been massively disappointed. I don't think he helps himself all the time. But at the same time, the racial stuff is ridiculous.
It's crazy for a player as talented as him to just show up week in, week out and just be so bad. Like, it's just crazy. Like, guys with half his talent are able to get it cracking, you know?
And it's wild when you hear his peers speak about him as well, right? Like, I sometimes can ignore managers because managers can speak from a somewhat like protective bias perspective. But like his peers, when they say Rashford in training, so techie, skillful.
Which means he's still showing out in training. He's still, and I think that's why he keeps getting picked, because based on how he's performing in training, it would be silly of the manager not to use him. But then he's getting on the pitch and it's not computing.
And who else is there?
Ahmad. I need Ahmad to get some minutes. Once again, he came off
the bench. You're doing Ahmad and Garnacho out wide.
Yeah, bro. Right. Yeah, man. Because I prefer Garnacho on the right now. So I don't really want him to go back on the left. But, like, I don't want to see Anthony. Rashford can't play. He can't.
Yeah, he needs to be dropped.
He's serving up. Yeah, this is two poor seasons out of the last three. I think the last one they said told me was his shoulder and he was injured and whatnot. But man, he's going to be 27 in October. He's been playing in the first team for almost a decade now. And
15, yeah.
Yeah, this is the stage where he was supposed to be like seen as a world-class footballer. So yeah, just as a Manchester United fan, it's sad, and I think we discussed it at the top. Like, we've had so many talented players come here and just fail to achieve their potential. So there's something absolutely rotten. You've got another one on the conveyor belt now in Kobbie Mainoo coming through. But we're seeing it with Rashford. We saw it with Martial. Like, who could have possibly imagined in all of Doctor Strange's scenarios that this is how Martial's time would have ended up? How?
Man.
He's that 28, 29, if that, you know.
Probably won't play another game.
Pogba, underwhelming. Greenwood, wrong. And looking at another club, they probably sort him out a lot earlier and try and help him, because obviously there's something not right there. I just think where we talk about confidence and needing a healthy environment, we don't have any of those things, you know. And this is what you get. Like, we sign the best in class, they don't achieve. We have some of the best talent in the country, they come through, they don't deliver, you know. We waste our money, those guys are worse than whatever we thought we were signing. Nothing in this environment is conducive to players performing. And then doing all that, you've got a mentality monster, Bruno Fernandes, who gets to rise to be the captain and the face of the club just because he's almost immune. Like, his style of play is literally tailor-made for this environment. Just keep doing whatever the hell you want until something good happens. And nobody's going to hold you accountable. In fact, they're going to sing your name from the terraces. This is the only club where Bruno Fernandes could have ended up revered the way he's revered. So, yeah, I really don't. I hate, like you guys, I hate getting onto Rashford because I just feel like I'm adding another voice to like loads and loads of voices against him. But like, I can't lie to myself either, you know. I can't sit here and criticize and scrutinize other players and their performances, and the player that I rate higher and I know is more talented is not performing as well as those guys, and I don't speak on it, you know. I think
question then, does it get to a point where, if we use Rash as the specific barometer or player we're going to assess, to get to a point where if we look at two out of three seasons where one is quite almost unreal in terms of last season and then subpar. I'd say this season's worse than the Ragnik Ollie one. So how do we assess him as a player if for the last three seasons there's only been one good season?
Inconsistent. I know people say on his day, but he's definitely like a purple patch player. So it's on his patch, really. If you catch him in a purple patch, unplayable. You know, you want him, he's the first person you pass the ball to, you know he's gonna do something special. But when he's like this, out of his patch.
Do you know what? He hasn't excited me as a footballer since. And when I say excite me, the gives and goes, the jinky me jinks, the take man on.
That's gone. Forget about that. Forget about that. That's my point. Yeah, that's gone. That's gone from his game now. We got this, what we got. Long knuckleballs.
I think that's wild. That we've, and some of that comes down to injury. I definitely think so. 100% injury. He was carrying. But yeah, he hasn't excited me. Don't get me wrong. Last season, he was scoring goals, but he didn't excite me. The last time it excited me was when he had him, Martial, Greenwood, Rongan, and Pogba moving mad. That was the last time. We were, what, 2021, 2022? No, 2021.
Lockdown ball, bro.
Yeah, let's just call it
age football. No fans. Let's just ball, man. I've got no time to talk, man. So I just think for his mental health, just for everybody to just get beyond this, like, needs to go. He needs to leave. Yeah, he needs to leave. I don't think he deserves what he gets from the fan base. Nobody deserves what he gets from the fan base. And I just want him to turn his back on Manchester United and just go on and be... He doesn't look happy.
Yeah. It's probably better for both parties just to call it and just be like, you know what? Here's what it is. It's sad when a hometown boy comes through the academy and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't work out, but you know, do you give it another season where he potentially serves up this? And it's like, wow, like people are trying to drive him out of the club. Or is it more of a case where it's like, you know what? The season before last, it was good. This one's not been good. You know, new manager comes in, clean slate, yada, yada, yada. But you can imagine if you're a new manager, you're probably telling yourself, I get the best out of him. I know what he can do. Yada, 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 yada.
I know him. Marcus,
yeah.
I know him.
So that's the thing. You're not gonna, if you're a new manager, you're gonna believe in your own source. You're gonna let a 26-year-old sort of player who's got all these goals and appearances and knows the league and all the other positive attributes.
Talent, he's got. Let's be honest, he's got talent, and this
100%
massively lacking in talent, you know. So
how much is he on the market if you want to buy a replacement?
100 mil.
There's other positions that need more pressing attention, so it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
How about you, Elijah? What say you?
Yeah, man, he needs to stay. Yeah, man, this is blood in, blood out. yeah, man, he's not leaving. Not on my watch yet.
What do you know? Okay, what do you have to say about everything we've just discussed?
Yeah, man, he needs to stay. needs to stay. No, I'm being serious. Like, I don't like watching talent walk out the door. And as much as people, including myself, will criticize him because he deserves it. He's been poor this year, and Gaz has been right. He's not excited me since even in lockdown ball, he was probably the worst of that front five. But that's fine because he was coming back from an injury. It was his back. So it was a hard one to recover from. But yeah, before in that 2019 from like October to Jan when he got injured, yeah, that was the last time he truly excited me. It's sad to see, but like you see it a lot with players where they do get a lot more. Like you saw with Rooney, where he became a more cultured footballer. Like he became more economical with his touches, but at least he was still effective in terms of his influence on the pitch. And wherever he played, he was able to influence it, whether it be goals or if he was a bit deeper, he was able to help us control the game. With Rashford, it seems like he's become
more economical, and he's just become an economical piece of shit, which is sad. It's just sad to see. But yeah, like me personally, I don't want talent to walk out the door. And like we just said, if we're gonna be real, we're gonna let a guy walk out the door that we all say is gonna need about 100 million to replace. Like, I can't accept that. But he is better than this, and I do feel like, as much as I feel like, because we've just watched him grow, people that, like, he's 26. Like, if we signed a guy who was 23 and he was 26 now, it's just like 3 years of this bullshit. But because it's been like 8 years, as we've been through all the ups and downs, I do think he gets a lot of a shorter leash. And there's obviously the thing with the fans, which is kind of strange. I don't know when it started. It was probably like 2019 after the Jose thing. But yeah, the fans have a weird relationship with him. And like, a lot of the match-going fans really don't like him. They say he's very lazy, doesn't track back as much. And on top of that, he's playing poorly. But yeah, I don't want Rashford to go. But, and it's a guy... And look, as much as people like to say he doesn't look happy, would you be? Like, a club you support and you came through the academy and they are in the fucking mud and you are even contributing to that as well. You shouldn't really be happy.
But I guess my point, Elijah, is that when will that change? Like, he's not going to be his best self when he's not happy, right? So unless we're putting some faith in the next regime to what turn things around. Remember, I basically don't want to see it go down the route where it gets to where you got with Martial and you're like, yeah, he should go. He's worth zero now. That's when you finally said, yeah, he should go. And it was like, it's still 9 a.m. And jokes aside, obviously, that's a bit of a banter. But there was always that belief that there's talent here. We don't want to give up on the talent. And I'm just saying, I just feel like we're in an ecosystem that talent dies. Talent comes here to die.
Yeah, but I feel like I would rather watch it die here. Call me sick, but... Call me sick, but I would much rather we try and get as much as possible from Rashford. Look, I've said it from the start. I said for a very long time, if Rashford was to ever leave his club, I would go with it. Maybe not so much now, but yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, brother, you know what? Every man, listen, you're a good lad. Next question is from Ruler of Gap. At the time when ETH made the subs yesterday, did you guys think he made the subs way too early? Because I thought he made them too early, which is crazy to think like that against a championship team. So obviously, I think the main point people are talking about is the last few games we've subbed off Garnacho when we've been winning. He's come off and we've either drawn or lost. Sorry, 3-0 up against a championship side. I don't care, man. Like, I'm not hearing it. What do you think, Elijah?
Look, I understand the sub. I would have brought off Garnacho. I would have brought off Rashford. And to be fair, if you look at our bench, the only players who didn't come on were players that literally haven't played a senior game for us. We legit only had 4 subs we were able to make. But it should have been 3 because... I would rather have lost the game than have to watch Ericsson play football again. But he was brought on and he decided to serve up a piece of shit performance that he has served for the past 2 seasons. But yeah, the subs were the subs. If I am a manager and a player has had one training session for a week, and there's a player out there playing like a piece of shit, I'm talking about McTominay and Rashford respectively, not sure why Maynard and Garnacho came off apart from seniority, and that's it. And if that's the case, then he deserved that second half, because quite frankly, this politics bullshit, when your job's on the line, he's doing it with Anthony and Ahmad as well,
you're getting everything you deserve. He can keep playing it. He's just working himself out of a job, and that's fine with me. He can keep making these stupid decisions. He's the one who's going to lose his job, so it's whatever.
Facts. Next question is from Jay Gums 91. Who realistically would be our targets for next manager? Spoken on that. Tash 27 _. Where does yesterday rank in the post Fergie Hall of Shame games? Obviously, Liverpool 7-0 has to be number one, surely. I'm trying to think. Are there any other batterings you guys remember that go right to the top?
I swear there was a City 2-0 where Pep just said, "Yeah, you man, chill." There's a few of those, but there's a specific one where I think City went, "Yeah, you man."
That was, yeah, that was November 2021.
Yeah, Pep was like, "Let's keep Ollie in the job for a little longer." Let's keep Ollie in the job.
Always playing chess, that guy, man.
There's the Liverpool 5-0.
Yep. Was the one Pogba got the red, yeah?
Yeah. Then there that was Spurs. Funny.
Oh, my days.
That was like, yeah, you did that on purpose. Like, no doubt about it, man.
Let me watch that back.
You know what is so funny, yeah? So you know, I think the week after we faced Man City, and then Keane said that famous line where he said, "Oh, I might smash into somebody just to make myself feel better." The week before, Scholes and Keane were onto Pogba before doing that, and I was sitting there like,
"Hold on, isn't that what he did?"
The worst thing is Scholes is the one player that I would trust to do it, that exact thing,
yeah, in
that exact situation.
Yeah.
And it's there was that game, there was a Spurs 6-1.
Oh my god, that was Robert did a left wing bus sesh. That was
that when Harry Maguire got spun? I think he definitely
did.
That
was shocking. Who else? Gosh, do we have any embarrassing European performances? Boy, this year's whole Champions League campaign, Copenhagen, Galatasaray. Oh man, what if the Brentford 4-0?
Ten Hag has got some thinkers, you know, bro.
He conceded 7 goals. We don't talk about that enough. Like, if I was a Liverpool fan, if I was a Man United fan, and we'd beat Liverpool 7-0. They are never not hearing about that. Like,
there would be a banner in Anfield courtesy of me.
What? Every single week I will be wheeling that bad boy up, man.
It means more.
It means more, bro. Honestly, every single week. The fact that we kind of like, people tried to like, because obviously they had the Martinez get turned around thing, and that lasted like a week. But then that was it. Like, any Man United fan try and talk to me about football, nothing. 7-0, man. 7.
There was a Brighton 4-0 as well. Leicester 4-2.
Jesus Christ. No, the Leicester 4-2, was that embarrassing?
Was that LBG when Demiria?
That was under Ollie, but there was a 5-3. That was crazy as well. Yeah. There was the MK Dons one, the 4-0.
Oh, my God.
Oh, LBG, innit?
Oh my god, bro. Too many to mention, man. I don't know where you put that Coventry one because we won in the end. All the other ones we're talking about, we lost.
There was the Arsenal 3-0 where Damian and Schweinsteiger got absolutely.
Oh my god, Spinter. That, like, Damian was a leading right back in the league up until then.
He had a good 2 months. He was solid. He was solid.
His blood was twisted so much. He's still recovering.
I mean, he is about to win a Serie A now, so.
Fair. So it took about a decade to get his blood right, get his blood work right again, man. Cool. So I don't know where I'd put yesterday in terms of Hall of Shame, because we just reeled off, like, it felt like over a dozen. So, yeah, this last 10 years has been banterous. I don't think anybody else has been embarrassed as much as we have. Maybe Arsenal.
We
battered them. Bayern battered them a few times. Did Barca batter them in this period? City battered them. Chelsea battered them. I don't think Liverpool battered them, though.
I think they've done them like 4-0 like the other. They've done them 4-0 a couple of times.
Fair.
Yeah.
Trouble. That's not nice, man. Fair, bro.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's somewhere up there is the question. Assad XGH, who was more at fault, ETH or the players, for going from a comfortable and professional performance to being outplayed? It simply can't just be down to the switch to four at the back from Coventry in the second half. I'm more sick of the players, bar the young G's and Dalot, than ETH, but Boldy, shake my head.
Yeah, man, they're all pieces of shit. I can't, there's no, like, even down to McLaren. I don't know what it does, but he's a piece of shit too.
He's there, who's the guy Solskjaer had?
Feeling.
Yeah, he's this team's, like, feeling.
And he's that Van der Craig or whatever, yeah, they're all pieces of shit. Benny McCarthy, piece of shit.
Nah, you can't turn on Benny, man.
I wasn't even on his side in the first place. I was looking around thinking, you're really going to say that this Rashford form is down to Benny McCarthy?
Don't lie, you bought it, bro.
I did not buy shit.
Ben Meezy.
Yeah, you make me sick. First of all, that is the worst. You know what? Let's move on.
Anyway, STG. Man, you. How do we still do this every game? Break down so easily. You've spoken on that. Poor underscore Adeyemi. When will the pain end? Can we sink any lower? Everyone treat it like a loss.
It was, bro. We did. We lost.
It was a loss, bro. It was.
We won, bro. We lost. We know what loss looks like. That was, let's be abundantly clear, that was a win.
We absolutely lost.
If you say so, bro, I don't look at it as a W, man. And I can't wait.
We lost. Like, I literally, as soon as they confirmed, cool, that was offside, I turned off. I said, let me know.
Yeah.
I was not watching those pens.
I saw that, but I'll tell you this, bro. For the man who were trying to hate watch, that's an unsuccessful hate watch.
That is somehow the most successful, unsuccessful hate watch I've seen in my life.
Yeah, obviously, but it was ultimately... It only lands if the team loses. Like, we won the game. The hate watch only... And for me, I'm investing 2 hours in. And we even went down in the penalty shootout, courtesy of Casemiro. I'm at that point, if I'm a hate watch, I'm overdosing. This can't get any... This can't... I can't fathom this getting any better than it is now.
I'm fucking finished.
Do you know what the worst thing is? One thing I really hated about that game... I would hate watching Liverpool. These guys brought me back into the game to focus. I was so pissed off.
Oh, Fredo, that's in the bank. Let me see if Fulham can pick anything up.
I had it on in the background. I was watching Liverpool game on my phone. It was a decent game. It was 1-1 at halftime. And then I'm watching to bring back to 3-3. That actually pissed me off more.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
I couldn't even do what I've been focusing on for the last month because of that fucking team.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And we're only going to lose the final as well, so that's just hilarious.
It's just...
Cool. Next final question. Joshua Ojisina. It would be common sense that a player like Bellingham would be a disaster at United. So, barring the obvious, Paul Pogba, which Manchester United player in the past decade would have probably been world-class had they never come here?
Not many, to be fair.
World class.
How do you think Martial's career turns out if he goes to, I don't know, Arsenal?
In that regime that they had?
In that regime, across the same years.
I think he would have been better, but I don't think he would have reached his optimum heights. I feel like if he went to, like, a... middling team, and then like what, for example, a Neto might do, where he's able to showcase his talent, but he doesn't have the pressure. Then he's able to build up games and stuff like that. So something like Eze has done, or Elise, and then he gets that move later on. I feel like it would have been a bit better for him, but world class, I'm not sure, just because we've always had this concession with him about he's not as dynamic enough. He's even though he's very talented, he needed more dynamism to be able to get to that level where he could be world class.
And the mentality as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, he, I don't even think of a thing where when most people speak about Martial's mentality, they think of it as a thing of he doesn't care.
I'm not from that school.
Yeah, but I feel like he's just a massive confidence player, because, like, I always say it, but Berbatov, at Monaco, he always say to him in training, like, you don't even know how good you are. Like, he needs to have more confidence in himself, because he always seemed to get down on himself or when he missed chances and stuff like that. So, yeah, but he would probably have been better than what he is now at this age. But world class, I feel like he would just be a very good player.
That for the talent level he had, that should have been good, should have been the minimum he became.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's the injuries as well that really.
But Walcott was eating though, man. Swine. Swine, fam.
Fam, I've seen pigs eat better than that, man. he was on a shocking diet, man. He was on a shocking diet.
And we know they weren't feeding them bad carrot and either, boy.
Bro, I mean, if they were, then they would have been losing bear weight, because they just would have been vomiting all over the place, boy.
Lads, somehow, regardless of what happened, we managed to still discuss this team in depth, and I appreciate it. Keeps me grounded. Lads, Elijah, Gaz, a pleasure. Always, Dr. Mike had to hop off daddy duties. We'll do this all over again next week. Peace.
Peace. Peace.
I shoot my shot, I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check my record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Cold. Murder a beat, I'm cold. I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I just do my thing, I don't need to talk. I shoot my shot, I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check man's record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Cold. Murder a beat, I'm cold. When I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole, I just do my thing, I don't need to. Middle with the field in check like scores. But I still grind and chase my goals. When I get a chance, man's veins get cold.
Sports Social Podcast Network.